robot.
April 21st, 2020. I'm gonna call it day 40 of the quarantine. I have no idea. I've lost track. It's different for every person. So we'll call it day 40 of quarantine. Day 62 of COVID-19 being known to the public. And I gotta tell you, whether you call it day 40, call it day 62, call it whatever you want. It is, we're in a scenario, hang on, Todd's counting on his fingers and his toes. While he's doing that, we're in a scenario where some states and some areas of some states and certain businesses are starting to get back to normal. And I'm not going to interrupt Todd when he's counting because we know he's not good at numbers or math. But
this is actually day 40 for me.
Is it day 40? Wow, amazing. Okay, so I'm curious what your thoughts are on the fact that our home state, South Carolina, the beaches, I believe, as of today, maybe not, maybe yesterday, are reopened, and other things are slowly starting to open. What are your thoughts on that for populated areas? And then maybe for an area like North Dakota, I don't think they're doing it necessarily, but if a place like North Dakota was like, yeah, we'll reopen because we only have six establishments that were closed anyway, let's let them reopen. What are your thoughts on the reopenings here on day 40 of quarantine, day 62 of COVID-19?
Bad idea.
Bad idea. Why?
Because we're not out of the transmission phase yet.
Transmission phase. Hang on. That's a term I've not yet heard.
Whatever. Please, I made up that term.
Oh, you made it up. Okay, that makes sense.
I think the cases, the number of cases have kind of leveled off, but they haven't steadily gone down yet.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Were we looking at the Johns Hopkins counter?
I was. That's not my favorite anymore, but I still use it. It's an open tab. My favorite is now worldometers.info/coronavirus.
That definitely sounds.
It sounds. I know it sounds sketchy, but they give sources. It's legit. I think I talked about this in the last pod. I'm not sure because I've been using it for weeks. But there you can see the graph of the daily new cases. It's a column graph. And you're right. And I may have mentioned this in last week's show. I don't know. I've done so many interviews recently. I lose track. But
yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, you know, we're multimedia moguls now after doing the Zoomcast. But on April 4th, that was the highest day in terms of new cases in the U.S. There were 34,403. The closest we've been to that number was April 7th, was 33,000. I guess April 10th, also 33,000. But everything since then has been averaging around 29,000. And if you were to put a trend line on it, which I love using trend lines in my Excel graphs, it is trending downward. The slope is negative at this point from April 4th, again, the all-time peak day for new cases, to up through yesterday. They're through yesterday's data. It is a negative trend line. So I agree with what you're saying. The number of new cases is definitely ever so slowly on the decline, which is good, but it looks like a plateau. Do you know how to work the internet? I feel like you can't find this website.
Well, the thing I was looking at wasn't coming up. I was looking at the Johns Hopkins one, and it wasn't okay. Giving me what I wanted.
Fair enough.
Wouldn't give me nothing.
Here. Magic of the internet. I'm just going to send you the link. There you go. Now you can look it up. It was that easy. Love the internet, folks. But the point is that the new cases have been down. And then the other thing that this particular website highlights is the daily new deaths, which sounds morbid. But and those also, same thing. The spike was more recent. The highest all-time day for the U.S. was actually April 15th, tax day. Ironic.
Deaths will probably go up because they lag cases.
And they are a little behind. But will they go up or will they also plateau and then slowly go down? I don't know, because again, the trend line over the last week or so is negative there as well.
What are you looking at? What are you looking at to see the trend line?
So it has the listing of all the states. Go below that, and that's where all the graphs are. It doesn't have a trend line. I'm putting in the trend line in my own mind.
I don't see it going down at all.
On the daily new cases, you don't see it going down.
At linear?
No.
Total cases.
I'm looking at the graph below that, the column graph. Not the line graph, the column graph.
Well, the line graph is useless.
Well, the line graph is useless because it's cumulative. So, of course, that's going to go up. which is why you switch to logarithmic, which is the inverse of exponential, for those that are uninformed.
I'm looking at linear and logarithmic.
Okay, and I'm telling you not to do that. Go to the graph below that.
I know, but that...
Because it's cumulative. That's always going to go up. If there's one new case, it's going to go up. That's cumulative. Look at the daily new cases in the United States. Do you see that?
Yeah, but that's not going down.
It is. The trend line is going down.
Did you graph this to get a trend line?
If you need me to, I can do that and send it to you. But I promise you, from April 4th, which is, again, that highest bar, down to current day, April 20th, that is a negative trend line. I promise you. I look at these things
all the time. Yeah, maybe slightly.
I said it was slight. It is ever so slight. But even if it's plateaued, that's a good thing. Because you look at the 3 weeks before
that. If you look at the daily deaths, they're going up. The highest one was today.
Let's go to daily deaths. I don't know what you're looking at, because no, it wasn't. Maybe I need to hang on. Maybe I need to refresh it. Maybe they've changed the page since I last refreshed. Okay, they did. Okay, so today was in fact at 2804 the highest deaths. I had not refreshed the page since April 15th. However, even factoring that in, so we'll call that a plateau then, because you have some very low days as well. April 19th was 1561 deaths. But again, I agree with you. Obviously, there's going to be some lag between new cases and deaths. It's always going to be 10 to 14 days behind. That makes logical sense. So let's say it's plateaued. Let's say the deaths have plateaued. I'm not going to say there won't be a higher number. But
today's case number is the same as March 31st, essentially. It's a little higher than March 31st.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's really going down. I mean, it does look like the peak is from April 4th through the 10th. So
Hang on. I know your math skills. Think about this. Draw just a regular curve graph, okay?
I get what you're saying. No. But this is not showing enough of a decline to say that it's going down, I guess.
I'm not saying it's going down. I'm saying it's a slightly negative.
We still don't have enough testing to really know the actual number of cases.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Go ahead. Could also be that the daily number of cases is lower reported because they're increasing in places where they're not testing as much.
But by the same logic, you would make the argument that in the last 2 weeks, they've tested 10 times more than they did the 2 weeks before that, which was 10 times more than the 2 weeks before that. I'm not saying those numbers are accurate, but it's very possible.
Yeah, I don't think
that's just as possible as what you posited, is what I'm saying. But you asked that question. I'm glad you did. If you go to the Johns Hopkins site, if you still have that open, they actually have that information now. By state, they have total tests conducted in the U.S. And did you already pull it up? Hello? Oh, boy. Todd's frozen. Say that again. Did you pull it up? Because I wanted you to guess how many they've tested. Because I was surprised.
Yeah. I guess they tested 200,000. The Johns Hopkins is slow for me, so I don't know how many they've tested.
Okay. So you guessed 200,000 people have been – come on. Is that your legitimate guess? You know it's higher than that.
Is it? I don't know. I have no idea.
Total tests conducted in the U.S., 4.15 million. I was surprised as well. I thought it was like a million and a half.
So that's like a little more than 1% of the population?
Sure. Yeah, it's 1.5, I think.
It's pretty terrible.
I mean,
it's not even 1.5.
Okay, but hang on. We got to think about this rationally. So we have a pandemic. That's great. Are we going to suddenly have 300 million tests? Are we going to test everybody? Is there a need to test everybody? No, there's not.
Yes.
I disagree.
And we could have easily tested many more people than we have tested.
That I agree with. But I don't think there's a need to test everyone.
Where do you see how many tests? What's that under?
It's on the world map tab.
Okay.
And then on the far right, it's a light blue color. It says total tests conducted in the U.S.
Gotcha. 4.15, yeah.
And obviously it breaks down by state. Clearly New York would have more than anyone else. California has a lot. Florida, which we were talking about earlier today, is third with 277,000 tests. So, again, it's just an interesting number. It's higher than I would have thought. at this point. It's significantly higher than you thought. It's 20 times higher than what you thought it would be.
I had no idea. I was just...
You were grasping at straws. I understand that. But, so anyway, so that's, you know, you were talking about how prevalent the testing is. That kind of answers that question. And again, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, last time we did just a standard pod, you have to keep in mind we're working with incomplete information. That number is not 100% accurate. Total number of deaths is not 100% accurate. Total number of confirmed cases is not 100% accurate. There's some, you know, there's some standard error deduction there that we just have to factor in. How big it is on some stats is different from others. I understand that, but
I was just reading something today about how off it could be, though, and it was pretty high.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you think about, you hear about all these sorts of...
Basically, the deaths are probably being undercounted because there's a lot of people that are dying from it that haven't been tested, and they were saying that number would go up quite a bit because they won't be able to confirm it for, like, a month or something
Let me ask you about that, because you said you read something on that. How does that work? Are they going to, before they bury the bodies, they're going to do the one final, like, is that going to count as a test in the U.S.? Is that going to count towards that 4.15 million number?
Like, if someone's suspected of having? I think if people have died in under suspicious, or whatever that means, circumstances.
Unknown.
Maybe they'll just do a blood draw like that. I don't think they're going to slow down any sort of burial or autopsy process, and then they can, like, run that to see if they have the antibodies or whatever.
Yeah. But do we know that that's foolproof as well? And I have a follow-up question on that as well.
Yes, that is foolproof. If they have the... I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they're testing it, so I can't say it's foolproof. But
right. So
it can be detected if you've had it.
Interesting sidebar thought. As you may or may not remember, because we may or may not have talked about this, back in mid-February, Jamie got very sick on a Friday evening, was sick all weekend long. Come Monday night, Tuesday morning, I became very sick. We both definitely had the flu. It is now confirmed that COVID-19 was in the States at some point in late January. It is possible that she and or I both had coronavirus, both had COVID-19. So what I want to know is there a way, is there a place that we can go to get tested? Because you've heard about these people donating plasma. I would gladly donate plasma to the cause. Really? If, of course, what do I care? I
think it's like super painful.
It's not bone marrow. It's plasma. I think it's more painful than donating blood, but I don't think it's super painful. But if I thought I could help, oh, now Todd's looking up the donation plasma process. But if I could donate blood or donate plasma rather, I would gladly do it. If I thought it would, you know, help some local Aurora, Colorado people. We've had several people die here, obviously, in this county, if not dozens.
I must have been thinking of bone marrow. It says
you're definitely thinking of bone marrow.
It's comparable to a bee sting.
Blood donation. Oh, okay. I mean,
that to me is just any donate, like donating blood is about.
You're
that.
A puss. I know this. However,
No. I don't mind having my blood drawn. I was thinking of bone marrow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that bone marrow is horribly painful because they literally, you know, go into the bone, to get the marrow. The marrow.
And then they make it into ice cream.
There you go.
What were we talking about?
I was talking about having the antibody, potentially having the antibody.
Yeah, I think they can test you to see if you've had it. Would they? I don't know.
That's the thing. Like, I don't want to walk into a hospital.
Like a waste of a test.
Right. I don't want to roll into a hospital and be like, hey, I know you guys are kind of busy.
Oh, God, no. Don't go near a hospital. That's a
and
term.
I'm not going to. I'm being sarcastic, obviously. But seriously, I'm sure there are other people out there like me that had a flu or had an illness around that time that potentially could be helpful to the cause. But it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to actively participate in being part of the solution. Other than doing what we've been doing about quarantine and social distancing and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, who knows? It's a tough one. Tough situation. Tough world we live in, I tell you. I wanted to ask, while you're distracting yourself looking at the internet, face masks. when you called me earlier today, you were going out picking up some food for the fam. Are you a face mask wearer at all times when out in public?
Yes. It's actually required in Maryland at the moment. You're not allowed to go into any business without a face mask.
Really?
Yeah.
And I know I've asked you this before. I asked this a couple weeks ago on the pod. Is it enforced? Do you know?
I mean, I haven't seen people flaunting it, so I don't know if they'd tackle you if you walked into Home Depot without a face mask on. They'd probably ask you to leave or say, I mean, it has signs outside, like Governor Hogan, who's the governor of Maryland, has issued that a decree or whatever. That's not a decree, but like you must wear face masks in all public.
Executive order, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird when, like, I went to Home Depot. We were getting some stuff because doing a few things around the house. I needed some supplies, painting, some other stuff. I didn't buy paint, but I bought some other things. Anyway, and it's like going into a fucking Mortal Kombat game. Everyone's got their ninja masks on. I was expecting people to, like, someone to rip someone's head off with their spinal cord dangling or something. Finish him! Just looks weird.
We went to Trader Joe's, I think it was on Wednesday, last Wednesday, and there was a line. There's a line outside because it's like Trader Joe's, as it always has been, now officially feels and looks like an exclusive club because they're only letting so many people in at a time. And so as a person with a – so everyone's forced to use a shopping cart. So as a person comes out with a cart, they now let someone in. That's how they keep track of it. But anyway, and so there was like tape on the ground, and everyone had to stand. You know, if you're with a group, you could stand
6 feet apart.
Yeah, 6 feet apart. But virtually everyone, there were a few people that were not, but virtually everyone had the face mask on. And I agree, it's just it's weird. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Anytime you go through a drive-through or get pickup food, obviously all those employees are wearing a face mask, and you know, some would argue, maybe myself, that they should be doing that all along. I don't know. It's debatable.
Actually, we
sneeze guard.
We picked up Chick-fil-A the other day, and I don't think they had a mask on.
Well, it's their pleasure, though, Todd.
We did, yeah. It was definitely their pleasure.
But it's –
I know. Also, they had – I don't know if you've had this experience at Chick-fil-A, but they had like – the mid person money taker or whatever.
There was
a woman, she was wearing a face mask, also had gloves on, but her nails were so long they were like poking through the gloves. My wife's like, gloves are fucking useless if your fingernails are jabbing through the ends of them.
That's awesome.
I was like, you know, she's getting paid minimum wage, I don't give a shit. She's like, yeah, I know.
She doesn't care. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the thing that bothers me about the fast food situation is that these people are wearing the gloves, but then they're taking, you know, either cash or credit card from every person, and they're just wearing those gloves. They're wearing those gloves for hours.
Yeah, like, they should really throw them away after they touch anything, basically. But
every time.
That's completely impractical.
It is impractical, but it's like it's almost better, in my opinion, to not wear the gloves and just use hand sanitizer frequently or something rather than wearing the gloves.
I will say, when I went to Chick-fil-A the other day, they had the card reader on the thing, and they had you. I don't think they were taking cash. I mean, I'm sure they would have taken cash, but she didn't touch the card at all. She just tilted it towards my car window. I put it in. It was I assume a pinless transaction. Like I didn't have to touch anything. Just put my card in, and it dinged, and I could take it out. So. Excuse me, that was pretty nice because I didn't have to touch anything and could still pay. I don't know why they don't have like Apple Pay or pay through the app. You might be able to pay through the app. I don't know.
I'm sure you can pay through the app. You have bestowed the virtues of the curbside pickup for Chick-fil-A to me. Why are you not doing that?
Well, unfortunately, so I get a cheese sandwich at Chick-fil-A, which is basically a chicken sandwich without the chicken. So I get they enter it as a bun, cheese, lettuce, tomato, and pickle, which is what I get.
No chicken,
but it's like $1, which is a pretty good deal. Most places, if you're like give me the burger without the burger. They'll charge you like
charge
$6.
Charge you full price. Yeah.
So Chick-fil-A, it's like $1.25 or something. But you can't order that on the app. Like, there's no way to input that.
That's
otherwise, I would totally be using the app and do the curbside pickup.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if
Chick-fil-A.
I don't know if Chick-fil-A has that situation you're describing or not, but you think they would. It's the most by profit margin. What you were talking about, where you can pay through the app as opposed to having to even use a credit card.
I'm pretty sure you can. I don't know why.
Starbucks has those.
I think I have to link my card to it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably could.
I'm sure you can.
By the way, tonight's sponsor, Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Do love Chick-fil-A. Huge fan. The only issue I have with Chick-fil-A, well, aside from always being closed on Sunday is the one day that I seem to always want it, is the one by us. It's the only one within like 8 or 10 miles. And boy, does that thing get busy like all the time. It's always.
I mean, it's like that place is like a fucking casino. They just print money. It's always busy.
Of the fast food chains, it's the most profitable. The profit margin is the highest of all the fast food chains.
That surprises no. I mean, it literally always busy.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so good. Love the Chick-fil-A. Proud sponsor of the BroPod, Scott and Tom.
I mean, I'm not so crazy about the political views, and I don't. Prefer that we didn't eat there at all, but family loves Chick-fil-A.
Of course they do, because they're sane. Huh?
They hate gay people.
That's fine, but they make a mean chicken sandwich.
You're just feeling, what if they hated curly-haired people?
They're still going to serve me, and it's their pleasure.
As long as you give me the Chick-fil-A.
As long as you give me a fucking fried chicken sandwich, I'm a happy camper.
I do like their waffle fries.
Waffle fries. And you know what? You know what the best part, and you don't know this. I always, whenever I pick up drive-thru of any kind, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, whatever, you name it, I always take Stella with me. When you go through the drive-thru, if they see they have a dog, they'll give you a dog biscuit for the pooch. You don't even have to ask. Sometimes you have to ask if they don't see the dog. We have a small dog. But normally Stella knows when she goes through the drive-thru, she puts her little head up there in the back seat, back window. And normally they're very excited to see her. They're like, oh, I wish I could pet your dog. I mean, just the best service. Great lemonade. Did I mention they're tonight's sponsor?
To pet your dog. Yeah.
It'd be my pleasure to pet your dog. That's exactly right. What else was I getting?
Get everyone's food filthy.
Well, not nowadays. They're wearing the gloves. I mean, the fingernails would get filthy, but that sounds
worse.
Like something else is wrong. No, it's worse.
Yeah.
Stella's not shitting on them. It'd be
dog hair. Dander, whatever.
Oh, God. Anyway.
You wouldn't want them rubbing your head as you pass through the drive-thru and then handling someone else's food. I mean, maybe
just,
you wouldn't care.
Just for the awkwardness aspect, I wouldn't mind it. Especially if a woman had nails like you're describing. That might actually feel good.
Yeah, a little scratch. Yeah, a little head scratch.
Yeah, doing it now.
Ooh. All right. Now, if they did that, I might get back.
This is good to know. This is very good to know.
Todd
can be bought with very little. Very, very little.
It's funny. Nothing. My kids now eat Chick-fil-A in a more normal way. But my younger daughter, for the longest time, I think I told you this before, they get the chicken strips.
Okay.
But she wanted them deep-breaded. She just wanted the chicken on the inside. And I was like, the breading's the best.
That defeats the purpose
part
of going to Chick-fil-A. Come on.
So I used to have to take a knife and scrape off all the skin basically on the outside before she would eat it. Now she's come around, but she mostly eats the French fries, to be honest. But chicken.
I already know the answer to that. I was going to say, even though you're a vegetarian, would you eat the breading? It's basically fried. No?
Okay. Would skin.
That's would your true elder daughter eat the breading? Would your wife eat it?
No, it's not enough to really be worth eating. Mm.
Yeah,
I'm looking at an NBC story, and it says you can have a positive test for COVID-19 antibodies, and it does confirm that you have been infected with the virus at some point in the past. It doesn't mean you're immune.
Right.
But it does mean you've had it, so they can definitely
You've been through it.
If you've received the COVID-19.
So you're saying I should drive to my local hospital and get checked out?
No, I'm not saying that. Don't do that.
Please, wait, no one.
Until that
no
trend one. Line is way lower.
What's that? Which trend line?
The slope. Wait until yeah. it's...
Oh, wait until it's lower. Yeah.
I see that one of our friends, Dale and Holly, posted that something from your governor who was trying to reopen businesses.
Governor
we talked
Polis.
About this briefly yes. on the phone.
Yes.
I don't think that's a good idea.
What does he reopen? I still don't even know the details of it. I know all I heard is hair salons.
I saw that some non-essential businesses will begin to open like at the end of the week.
Okay. But we don't know the details.
I'm looking it up for you.
Yeah, I'm looking it up too. I'm on Dale's thing, Facebook thing. Was it Facebook? Or was it the
no,
Twitters?
It was on Twitter, yeah.
Twitter. I'm hopeless then. Hopeless. While you're doing that, since no one wants to listen to a podcast where two grown men look up things on the internet.
It does say many small business and personal services will be allowed to soon reopen. It says haircuts, for instance. So
yep.
Clearly they're getting the governor's wife or something needs a haircut. They clearly have been stressing that. Or maybe he does. I saw his hair. It didn't look that great.
Well, Governor Polis, homosexual. So I don't think
maybe.
It's his wife.
Well, maybe calls his husband his wife. Anyway, I apologize for assuming he had a female significant other. You'll still have to be 6 feet apart. I think they were saying some businesses will be allowed to open, but at 50% of staff or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On May 4th, large workplaces at 50% of the in-person workforce with symptoms and temperature checks as employees enter.
I did hear about the temperature checks at the security or whatever.
I mean, so let's say large businesses in this instance are over 100 people or over 500 people. If mm-hmm. you can only bring back 50%, like, why wouldn't you just continue to work at home? Like, what's the benefit of being back in the office?
Well, I think who that really affects and impacts are businesses that are not working right now. Businesses that are shut down, like retail, for example. I don't know if that's part of it, but I'm just saying as an example, where you can't work from home. You can't – they've not been doing anything. And they're like, all right, you can bring back – come back to work at limited staff.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel that way because it says – 50% of the in-person workforce and temperature checks. It's not. It doesn't seem like a retail thing.
Okay. Well, again,
it says May 1st under strict precautions. It doesn't detail what those are. Retail businesses can open to the public beyond curbside delivery and pickup. And then mid-May, he wants to try to reopen restaurants and bars. I don't know how excited people are going to be to go to restaurants and bars even in mid-May. I mean, I think people would love to do that, but I don't.
Yes, they'll be very excited if they're able to. But I agree. Some people will be very hesitant. That's a picture of Jared and Marlon. Marlon's his partner. I just sent you a link.
I sent one. I was like, what are you talking about? I don't have that open right now, so I can't see it.
Oh, okay. That's fine. But yeah, so I agree. People are going to want to do that desperately, but they're not going to do it right away. But I think I think what's going to happen, whether it's early May, mid-May, late May, June, whatever, is that people are going to slowly start to do those things again. They're going to see other people doing that. They're going to be hesitant. They're not going to want to be placed in a booth, New York City style, where you're sitting next to someone you don't know. But, you know, if you can – and some restaurants might even appease this and pull out some tables temporarily and make it so that all the tables are spaced.
Where did I go? I saw something. I think this is before they had the lockdown. Or the sort of like whatever in Maryland. I feel like we went somewhere and they were seating people at every other booth. Like
sure.
Alternating it.
Like I'd be okay with that right now as an example. I really would.
Sure you would.
Yeah.
I would not do that. But yeah, this says workplaces reduce in-person workforce by 50% and maximize telecommuting. To me, if you're doing telecommuting, I don't understand why you would bring back half your staff. Unless there's something where they have to be in the office, like.
So here, I'll give you an example. I'll use my current situation. I could do my entire job remotely.
Have been
for, this is week six. However, my company, there's a lot of incoming mail that is very important. It has to be hard copy. It can't be soft copy. It's legal documents, right? So currently, we've had some administrative employees going in every now and again, you know, one day a week, 2 days a week, for half a day or whatever, to process this paperwork. It's still been very taxing on them, and they have to really hustle in the time they have in the building. It would be much easier to have a couple of those employees full time back in the office, or at least like 3 days a week back in the office, to do those things. Because again, even though it's a, you know, we're a white collar kind of company, there's still some stuff that you can't just do on a laptop. I understand that certainly everything I do, and I'm assuming almost everything you do, can be done on a laptop or whatever. But
I was trying to think of like my company and like who would need to be in the office. I mean, obviously it's better to have meetings in person. Like the telecommuting is fine. It's not ideal, but I mean, for me, I actually don't mind it. I don't have to like, I can dress as I please, although I dress exactly the same.
I was about to say, I don't think anything's changed in your dress.
No, I still shower nearly every day.
Twice a week. Yeah.
Most days. It's more working and my kids in school or like didn't have to be doing schoolwork. This would be fine.
Yeah.
But the struggle for us is like trying to keep the kids on task. Excuse me, and or help them with their schoolwork and try to work at the same time.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Obviously, that has no impact on me, but I certainly sympathize and empathize with parents out there that are, especially for those certain school districts, whatever, that aren't doing distance learning or whatever they're calling it, like over the computer for a couple hours a day. Like that's
our county is totally fucked it up. They have had many missteps. They were sending out devices to students who didn't have them. Luckily, we bought our daughter a Chromebook for Christmas, so she didn't need one. But they had a delay in sending out the devices, so they were sending out paper packets. But the paper packets, they had a problem processing them. Then they were like out of order. They didn't copy all the things. Like it seems like it shouldn't be that hard. Like here's your 3 weeks of like worksheets, essentially, is what they are.
Yeah.
Get them. I mean, it's a shit ton of paper, so I can imagine logistically it's challenging just to make 50 or 60 pages of copies for 500 kids. But like, they royally fucked it up. Like, it's pages were missing, or they referenced stuff that wasn't in the packet from the previous week or the next week. It's been a mess. But which they're not going to teach any new concepts. They're just reviewing stuff they've already taught. Because of the disparity in like who has different levels of connectivity, it doesn't seem like there's many kids, at least in my daughter's class, who are unable to connect. But it's not a great teaching environment because they basically do like a Google Hangout and there's like 15 kids and the teacher's constantly like, everybody make sure you're muted. I think she can mute most of them, but like, they want to like jump in and like, you know, 20, 25, third graders just like blah, trying to talk to each other. Hey, like they haven't seen their friends. So they're like,
right.
It's worse with my 5-year-old daughter on her thing. It's just complete chaos whenever they do like a meeting. Kids trying to have side combos with people that they see their friends and they're like, hey, Scott, have you been playing this or what'd you get for Easter? Blah, blah, blah. Just like,
it's all crosstalk.
Yeah, just blah, 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 going constantly.
That's hilarious.
Like, as like, I've listened to a couple of them, and it just drives me insane listening to this kid just jabber on.
Yeah, I saw a meme or whatever on Facebook, and it said, it was a guy that said, he was like, my daughter just walked up to me, and I asked her why she wasn't in her, you know, class meeting or whatever. And it was, as you were describing, like 20 kids, Brady Bunch view style. And she was like, Dad, I filmed myself for 5 minutes and I placed that in there on a loop. And he's like, my kid's 10 years old. It's like she's awesome. Already figured out how to beat the system. I mean, obviously, I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm like, that would be brilliant.
I hope that's true.
Of course, I hope it's true. So, yeah, anyway, getting back to the point, you know, the parents that have to entertain a child or children, or God forbid, even teach a child or children during this while working from home, that's where the struggle would be if you're a remote employee. But anyway, stepping back again, I think the point is, you know, like you said, our governor here in Colorado, Governor Polis, and other governors are doing this. We mentioned earlier at the start of the show, South Carolina opening the beaches again. I think a lot of governors are just like, if we can do this safely, which I don't think what South Carolina did is done safely, but whatever. If we can do this safely, let's start to allow people to get back to some of the things that bring them that sense of normalcy. And as long as we do it safe and our numbers continue to go down, I mean, somebody has to start it, right? Somebody has to light the match to start the fire. We can't just sit at home for another 3 months and be like, are we safe?
Billy Joel could do it.
Billy Joel could definitely do it. It was always burning since the world's been turning, is what I heard.
He didn't start the fire, but yeah.
I heard it on the internet. I don't know if – you can't believe everything you read on the internet, but
– sorry, I wanted to put in a little plug here. My daughter, my younger daughter, I started a Twitter account for her.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's at little letter B quotes, little B quotes. So we're just capturing some of her best quotes. Well, there's only two up there so far, but because I keep forgetting to type them in. But first one is, we won't have popsicles, we'll have chill sickles, because we made popsicles the other day. And then she said to my older daughter, one, you're an amazing performer, and two, you're a complete failure. Oh man.
All right, hang on. I'm following.
I put a little profile pic up for her.
She has two followers. Are they me and you?
Yes.
Is that what's happening? Okay. Followed by I see that now. To my older sister. Yeah. what was the time gap between you're an amazing, by the way, you misspelled it.
No, she said it as one and two.
Oh. Oh, okay.
What did I miss? Oh.
You said your and
spell it. Oh. Yeah, I can't edit it. Whatever.
That's a shame. New profile pic. Very nice. Is that a Snapchat filter, the sunglasses?
I did it in Instagram, but yeah, basically.
Okay, very nice. Okay, so there you go.
It's like the Boz in the photo.
Right, yeah. The Boz.
Remember the Boz? Oh, speaking Ryan of football, Bosworth. Did you hear that...
I was going to ask you about
Patriots
that.
Patriots traded Gronkowski to Tampa Bay.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing, because I'm an idiot. No, because I hate the NFL or don't care about the NFL. When I first read that, I was like, first of all, I thought he'd retired and was going to become a retired. WWE wrestler. Okay, that's what I thought. So, like, I guess they sold the rights to him for another year or for the rest of the offseason?
That's the weird thing. I was like, he didn't play last
but
year.
Here's the other thing. So it's him and, like, a fourth round pick or something. I didn't understand the logistics of the actual trade, and it didn't dawn on me until I read something later about it, or I saw another headline about it later, and I was like, wait a minute, that's where Brady is now. So he just wants to follow Brady, I guess, maybe as a house in Tampa. Like, none of this makes sense to me.
I think Brady was like, let's get Gronk over here, I need more weapons.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, I assume so, that he asked them to get him.
That's like, crazy.
As we mentioned, Gronkowski was not in the league. It says, after 1 year of retirement, Rob Gronkowski is returning to the NFL. Surprisingly, he won't be making his return in New England. The Patriots and the Bucks have agreed to terms of trade that will bring Gronk out of retirement and send him to Tampa. And a seventh-round pick to the Bucks, who will get a fourth-round pick from Tampa.
So he did. Weird. So the Patriots must have had his rights then.
I guess
he retired before.
I didn't realize you could have someone's rights if they're retired. I guess if they must do that because players.
If he's still under contract, all the time. If he was still under contract, that's bizarre. That's really bizarre. Now again, I don't know much about Gronk, but I do know that he's pretty much he's the guy. What's that? Oh, brain. Well, yeah, that too. But no, I know that he's, you know, he's the guy that you see in the Girls Gone Wild kind of videos. Like he lives that sort of a lifestyle. So maybe he has a place in Florida, and maybe that's part of the reason too. Like he's like, I'm already living down here. I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, I think it's all about
Tom Brady asked him, and he said, okay. Back
Brady, yeah.
Here we go. An erotica novel inspired by Gronkowski called A Gronking to Remember was published in December 2014. Like, the man has lived a very interesting life. He's been on TV.
He seems like a complete dirtbag.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
He has done WWE, I think.
Oh, no, I know he has, but I thought he was going to do it full-time, is what I was saying. Gronk Nation. Here we go. Gronkowski has stated that partying improved his abilities, noting, you go out and get refreshed, and it just makes you want to go back out on that practice field and keep going hard. Way to use big words there, Gronk. During an on-air interview with ESPN Deportes after an AFC Championship win in 2012, he responded in Spanish, answering, Yo soy fiesta, which, as you know, means I'm a party. I want a party. I am a party. when asked how he was going to celebrate the victory of the AFC Championship. So, yeah. Got a couple screws loose, that's for sure.
He's had quite a few concussions. So.
Yeah, he's been beat up for years. He's just that kind of
player. If he doesn't have CTE, then it might be coming. Yeah, I hope not. I don't wish that on anybody.
Not personally, why would you? Obviously. But yeah, also he went to University of Arizona, which is, I believe it's either Arizona or Arizona State that's generally regarded as the number one party school in the country. So
yeah.
It all just fits. It all fits for the old Gronkster. But yeah, good luck. Godspeed to him in Tampa Bay. And it's now on his Wikipedia, so it is official. It has happened. The trade is cleared. I think he has to pass a physical, but he'll be
fine. Yeah. I saw something that it was saying like all the weapons that the Bucks had, and that was pretty good.
Oh yeah,
can't remember all the players.
Mike Evans, but I know, is one of their receivers. He's a quality player, and they got other guys too. I don't know much about it. What do I care? So while we're talking about this has nothing to do with what we were just talking about, but I wanna get you on air to lock you into this because we talked. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. Was last time we did a live pod. Last week we played the Zoom cast that we'd recorded with Rhino, but I want to lock you into this rewatchables that we discussed 2 weeks ago. You'd mentioned Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, I believe.
Yes, I've thought about doing it. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to do, right?
I'm fine doing that, but we should do it next week.
Okay.
So I want to commit to it.
All right.
That means late Sunday I'm going to text you and say, I know you haven't watched Temple of Doom yet, so you now have 3 days to do it.
No, I'll watch it. I'll watch it.
Watch it over the weekend.
Oh, Mom Shabbat. Oh, Mom Shabbat. Oh, Mom Shabbat.
This is why we need the video for YouTube, so the people can see you holding up the heart from Temple of Doom and chanting along with it. But yes.
So we have been doing movie night on Fridays and Saturdays, but I think the girls might be too young for Temple of Doom. I don't know.
Yeah, Temple of Doom might, especially the one with the Twitter account, might be a little scared by that. But you can find out. Because keep in mind, that was like, what, late 80s? That's probably PG-13. But even if it's PG in the late 80s, it's crazy.
I can't believe it came out in 84. Jesus.
That's a lot.
I feel like it was a fully, I mean, I guess I was 8, but I feel like I was a real kid when I watched that.
Wait. You just said Temple of Doom came out in 84?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would have guessed like 88.
I literally just said 88. I definitely would have guessed 88. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe we watched it like on HBO or something.
No. I'm sure I didn't see it in 84. I'm positive I didn't see it in 84. But still, I still would have even thought the movie came out later. Because it would have had to have been after Goonies, because it had, what's his name? Gadget, whatever that guy's name is. Dr. Jones, you know?
Yeah.
Goonies. No, I can't remember. Can't either, obviously.
Oh, what was his name? It was like Shortstop or Short Fuse or something.
Short his Fuse?
I think it was Short Fuse. It's something like that. Hold on.
Welcome to men looking up things on the internet.
They have a thing called Common Sense Media, which I look occasionally. It basically tells you like what's a good age to watch this, and it says 12 plus for Temple of Doom. I mean, I think 84 was definitely pre PG-13, so
yeah.
And it tells you like if there's violence or sex or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Short Round, by the way, was his name.
Oh, is that what it was? Short Round?
And it was Data in Goonies. And Goonies was after Temple of Doom. I never in a million years would have guessed that. Goonies was 85. Temple of Doom was 84. I would have lost every bet if someone had bet me on that. That shocks me. Absolutely shocks me. What else was I going to say? I can't remember. Anyway, that guy had a short career. I really thought he would have lasted longer in the industry.
Yeah, he was like super, like super mid-80s. That was not a common, but
yeah, he was on Head of the Class, if you remember.
Oh, was he?
Classic show. Yeah,
I loved that show. I think I was looking that up, and I think it was only like two seasons, and I was like, no way.
No, I felt like, yep. This says seasons 4 and 5.
No.
So season 1, 2, 3. Five. It was five seasons. Yeah.
Maybe he was towards the end. Oh, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, seasons 4 and 5. I remember his character on that show.
He wasn't as cute as a grown up.
No, he turned into an adult.
Obviously.
Happens to all of us. Present company excluded, of course.
There's something else I was going to tell you.
Oh.
Something
Take
else
your time.
We
talked about. We can edit this out.
I just remembered it, but I forgot what it was. Oh, I've been, I think we talked about it. What's your friend's name? The douche or what's
the douche?
there's some comedy. Oh, it was on Parks and Rec. They had the shock jocks. Guy's name was the douche.
Oh. Yeah.
But your friend had like a nickname. I forget what it was.
Not the
he
douche.
He was nice. I'm not implying.
Oh, you're talking douche. About Rhino. No, Rhino. His
yeah,
name is Rhino.
Yeah.
He goes by Rhino. It's definitely not the douche.
Just for some reason, that was the first thing that popped in my head.
By the way, I'm doing another one later this week. I'm going to mention that too. I'm going to say, by the way, just as a side note.
Don't tell him I called him
God
a douche.
Thinks
That's
you're
not what
a
I,
wonderful, nice
no,
person.
No, no, no.
But you thought
That's
your nickname
not what
was
I meant.
The douche. Anyway, yes.
Maybe, hopefully he watches Parks and thinks that's funny.
He might. I don't know. Anyway, yes.
Oh, so I think I told you I started watching season
8.
3 of Seinfeld.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Seinfeld. I thought you meant Curb. Yeah, Seinfeld, season
3. And, God, very uneven thus far.
How do you mean?
Just the episodes.
But what do you mean by uneven? Like, some are good, some
Some are very good, or some are okay, and some are terrible.
Yeah.
Like a couple I didn't remember at all, like, or I remembered seeing them, but I hadn't seen them in a really long time, because I think, like, basically, I most recently only watched Seinfeld in syndication. I think they limit the number of super shitty episodes, but, like,
they do.
I watched the parking lot one, which is not good, but like
the parking garage, the parking deck.
Parking garage. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Parking garage.
Not good.
It's not good, but it's sort of famous for some reason. And then, but there was the one with the restaurant. It's like, Babu.
Restaurant?
No, not the Chinese restaurant.
Not
it's
the
one with Babu. No, Babu across the street. He's trying to open a restaurant. Also has the IQ test. That part was pretty good.
Yeah.
But across the street, and Jerry encourages him to open a Pakistani restaurant, and he gets mad at him. He's like,
"You say make it Pakistani, the people will come. The people not here." Yeah.
But I'm trying to think what are but then like they have the one with the dentist note is the first episode of season 3. It's the one where George is getting a massage from a man. Like that's pretty good.
Yeah. The Swedish guy or whatever. Or yeah, he's a yeah. guy. I don't know if he's Swedish or not, but yeah.
Yeah, he's like,
it moved. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it moved, Jerry.
By the way, the hang on. I gotta give myself credit. I probably haven't seen that in 25 years, but I remember that line. Like, that's a classic line. These are all classic episodes you're talking about. But yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, like the one where they go to the party in Long Island, not good.
Not good. You're right.
This season three, for the most part, not that great. Oh, but then there's the episode where George sleeps with the cleaning lady.
Georgie, the cashmere sweater. Yeah.
Cashmere. Like, that's what I mean. Very up and down. Like,
yeah, that was some weird because it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. Yeah.
In this season, but for the most part, like, I think it really picks up in season four, I'm hoping, because this season three is like,
In my opinion, and I'd have to, if I had an episode list in front of me, which I could easily do, but I'm not, because I'm not cheating. I think seasons 5, 6, and 7 are when it really, like 20 out of 22 were home runs. 8 and 9 had some classics as well. The candy bar lineup is one of my all-time favorites. But I think that kind of meet in the middle between obviously season 1 and 2 are don't hold up, probably not nearly as funny. You know, a lot of references we wouldn't even get anymore. That's 89, 90, 91 that we're talking about. And then at the very end of the run, there were some that they were just kind of riding their success in seasons 8 and 9. And that's fine. But 5, 6, and 7.
I think basically from season 5 on, it's pretty good. I mean, I didn't like the finale.
A lot of people did. But
most of those things. I mean, I liked Putty. I thought he was a good addition.
Sure.
The Jay Peterman was obviously pretty funny. Yeah. Like all the new characters, all the new characters they introduced, I thought were for the most part pretty good. I mean, George's Susan, like, and Susan's parents, not my favorite. Like, I would have been fine leaving that story arc out.
Yeah, the whole Susan storyline, and particularly her parents, were just obnoxious, hoity-toity. But the way that they got rid of that storyline is one of the best parts of Seinfeld. That she died licking envelopes. Spoiler
Susan's
alert.
Death is amazing, but
it's classic.
Susan in general.
Yeah, Susan was pretty annoying.
And her parents, like, after she died, they should have just, like,
cut ties
with that. George being on the board. Ugh.
Yeah, it was all bad. It was all bad, but
not great.
But no, you mentioned Putty. I really think he kept the show going and really kept Elaine's character fresh. Like, early on in the Seinfeld run, you know, you were like, oh, is this going to become a love interest? Because, you know, Jerry and Elaine had a previous relationship and they even hinted at it a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
And then you kind of learn through the middle seasons. It's like, oh, she kind of dates anybody. And then when Putty comes in and she has an established relationship with an absolute fucking maniac, like he really cemented her place and some of her best lines. And by the way, she got so lucky because Peterman and Putty came in around the same time. I think Peterman was a little early. So she got the playoff of two of the best characters, aside from the main cast, that Seinfeld had in its entire run.
Let's not discredit JLD. Like, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is amazing.
No, she's great. She's great. And you had to have that female member of that cast. And by the way, little trivia that a lot of people don't know, when they originally cast Seinfeld, they didn't have a female lead. And if you watch the pilot, it was a different actress. True story. But anyway, so... But yeah,
I will say in season three, they have the episode where Jerry is recording his comedy show. Also, much better after they got rid of the comedy bits.
Yeah.
And Elaine talks dirty into the tape and George becomes attracted to her.
Yeah.
And they're all listening. It's one hilarious because the Walkman they're listening to
looks outdated.
Like it came from like 1982.
Right.
Like, it's got the big foam
ear
things with just a thin band of metal going across.
Like they're on an FBI stakeout in 1981 or whatever. Yeah.
But it's pretty good.
Yeah, I should start rewatching. Where are you watching it, by the way?
I'm watching it on Hulu.
On Hulu? Okay, that's what I thought. I think that might be the only place you can get that stuff. kind of on demand. I mean,
I think Seinfeld is coming back to Netflix, but
really, that'd be a fun one to do. Because
they lost The Office, but they're getting Seinfeld. I think 2021.
They're gonna lose The Office. I don't think they've lost The Office. They lost Friends.
They've lost it. It's going away.
Yeah.
Friends, I tried to watch. It's probably better than some of the early Seinfeld, but it's just like, I can't watch it. I don't understand how it's had a revival. Show is not that funny.
You know, obviously not. I mean, I watched it because I was of that age.
I watched Seinfeld and Friends. We watched it in college, back to back. High school, whatever.
But it's interesting, and Seinfeld's an exception because I think it's the greatest show of all time. But I think that classic sitcom style where it's a three-camera shoot and the canned laughter, like, no one does that anymore. What shows that are still out today do that?
Yeah, totally. But so I was watching Seinfeld and my daughter said, what are those people laughing? She had no idea what a laugh track was. She's like,
there you go.
She was like very confused. It's like those videos you see of the kids trying to dial a rotary phone.
Right, right. They're like pushing the holes.
She's like, what's going on? I was like, they used to have a thing called a laugh track. She's like, are there people there? I was like, well, yeah, sometimes there were actual people watching the show. Yeah. She's like, why are they why do you hear them laughing? I was like, I think it's to encourage you and help you know when to laugh. She's like,
that's why it was
weird.
She's right. That's the thing. It is weird, but that's, I mean, almost every show that we watched growing up was like that, and now virtually none of them are. I mean, you talk the ones we mentioned, The Office, certainly Arrested Development was one of the early ones that I saw that was a true sitcom but had no laugh track. But now pretty much everything. I mean, I don't watch a lot of sitcoms, especially
Arrested Development was sort of shot in the mockumentary way. I mean, once The Office kind of took off, a lot of sitcoms shifted. There was like the CBS holdouts. Like, I think these weren't shows that I watched, but like How I Met Your Mother and that.
Right. And the one about the science people that I can never remember the name of.
Yeah. Like, those, I think, are more traditional sitcom format. But it says Seinfeld will be on Netflix in 2021. When?
But seriously, I mean, you think about it. This is going to sound like a lot when I say it, but you can watch the entire run of Seinfeld in probably 85, 90 hours, which does sound like a lot of time. But, I mean, it's 22 episodes times probably 22 minutes times 9 seasons. Whatever. It's a long time, but you could blitz through that if you burn through 4 or 5 a day on the weekdays and maybe a full season on the weekends.
I mean, I watch the Office just as filler oftentimes at night, and I can watch an episode or two, and I've watched through it once, and I just have it on. It's a good show because it's still pretty funny to me.
Yeah, I was watching it tonight before I came in here to record this.
Drives my wife crazy because she wants nothing to do with it, but I'm like, whatever.
What is wrong with her?
I don't know. I would say that she is interested in watching shows, but that's not, she'll watch anything. She likes to have stuff playing on her phone all the time.
Yeah.
So she only like half pays attention to it, which, I mean, you don't have to like do a close follow on The Office to keep up with what's going on, but
no,
that's the benefit of some of those shows. But, it's weird to me. I don't know why she doesn't want to rewatch that.
By the way, I can relate to what you're saying. So you sit around and your wife is watching, you and your wife are watching the same thing, but she's mostly on her phone. I can relate to that. I understand.
So she had not watched Ozark. So I was like, season 3's out. I want to watch it. But I was like, you should watch the show. It's really good. So we just finished season 2 tonight.
Okay.
We watched the first episode of season 3 as well. So we're just getting into the current season of Ozark. But because I started to watch the premiere to season 3 and they had the sort of the recap from last year or whatever. And I was like, I don't remember half of this shit happening because like it had been a year and a half.
It never hurts to go all the way through it. Yeah. It's only three seasons or two seasons you have to get through.
Yes, and they're 10 episodes, so it's like,
yeah, it's easy
like,
enough. It's
a show, I'll watch it again.
Yeah. But,
like, occasionally we'd be watching season two, and she'd be like, she'll be looking at her phone. I'm like, you gotta pay attention to this. I mean, Ozark isn't like the most like intensive, like, but there's little subtle things.
Yeah.
She could never remember the FBI agent's face, the main FBI guy. She'd be like, who is that again? I'm like, it's the motherfucking FBI guy. She's like, he looks different every time they show him. I'm like, no, he doesn't.
It's shadows.
So we call him the faceless man, but,
nice.
But, I forget what my point was.
You didn't have one.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's definitely good to rewatch it. Cause I was like, she's like, she kept asking me like, what's going to happen to this person? I was like, I don't remember. Like I watched season two.
Oh, during once. Season one, two, she was asking you like,
I was like, I was like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I did know, but most of the time I was like, she's like, is this person going to die? I was like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
She's like, you don't remember this happening? I was like, I watched this like a year and a half ago and I only watched it once. So no, I don't remember. Like I watched a million things in between.
And a lot of times when I get similar questions from Jamie, I'll, even if I know the answer, I'll be like, yeah, I don't know. Just because it's like, that's part of the enjoyment of watching shows.
Yeah. If I tell you what's going to happen, it's no fun.
I don't understand why you would take that away from yourself, but what can you do? Yeah. We, I don't think I mentioned on the pods, or I mentioned on the Zoomcast, I think. We're on to season two now of Schitt's Creek. Schitt's Creek is a good show.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek's good.
It was, I'd always heard about it, and I just never, it was on the Pop Network. I still don't know what the hell that is or was, and yeah, so I was never able to find it, I guess, but now.
I think I told you that Dad has that in his cable package.
He has Pop?
Yeah.
Must have the premium package.
Oh, I think it's just one of those random cable channels that they throw in.
Oh, throw it for free because no one watches it.
It's like it's bundled with whatever.
Yeah, WGN. Stars. Oh, with one of the premium networks. Oh, yeah,
not even one of the premium. I just meant like it's bundled with like Fuse and just like random shit that like some people are really into, but not the Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I've never watched a show, I don't think, on the Sci-Fi Network, but it's a full fucking network, so there must be some people watching it.
Do you know why the Sci-Fi Network is still in business?
No.
The Sharknado series. All those terrible movies premiere and are produced by the Sci-Fi Network. And for some reason, Sharknado and Alligator Kane or whatever, I don't know, those stupid movies that people seem to enjoy are all premiered and produced by the Sci-Fi Network, because otherwise I agree there's nothing of any value on those networks.
I mean, if you want to watch Sci-Fi Network, not you, but if
in general,
I don't have anything against it. I don't typically watch the History Channel or Discovery Channel either, but you know, there are shows that are on there that people like. I mean, I guess sure. I do watch American Pickers, but
I was watching it this morning. Yeah, I love Pickers. I don't know why.
That's another good one that's on Hulu.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I got to make a list of the shows I watch and cancel my cable, because I'd say 95% of the time I'm watching the DVR. The other 5%, it's either on ESPN, although not much anymore, Comedy Central, or like the Oxygen Network, which has Snapped and Notorious Killers that like, I don't know, just women killing men type stuff. But that's it. Like, I have 900 channels, and I don't watch 875 of them. It's stupid. It's stupid that
you
I have
could all easily drop cable and get Hulu, and you'd be fine, I think. Because the other thing about that, most of that you can find.
I'll figure it out. Yeah, go ahead.
The other good thing about American Pickers, per se, is, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, I just jumped into like season 17 or something. Like, I don't even
it doesn't matter
know
at all.
That aired. Like, there's no real continuity. I mean, there's like three and a half main characters.
Like, no, there's two. Store.
There's well, two I mean, majors. There's Mike and Frank.
I know. Mike and Frank and then Danny, Danielle. Yeah.
Danny and Mike's brother. I can't remember what his name is, but
yeah.
Like they go out occasionally.
Robbie. Yeah.
But like. I could watch it from 8 years ago or like 2 months ago, and it's basically this. I mean, it's a great show. I love watching it, but like, there's not a lot of like narrative arc that matters. You just watch an episode from whenever.
And nowadays, a lot of, or certainly since quarantine started, it's all best ofs. So like, you're basically watching, you're getting a melange of the full 18 seasons or whatever. By the way, it hasn't been on 18 years. They'll do two seasons in a year all the time. I think it's
No, I didn't mean to imply that it'd been on for 20 years. Just I think so, there actually are like 18 seasons.
Yeah, there are. They're on 18 seasons. And it was either season 16 or 17, or maybe it's season 18. They're on like episode 94. Like, they just kept producing episodes. Even the best ofs are new episodes. It was kind of crazy. But we'll close out the show with this. But since you brought up Pickers, interesting to know that you like it. I've been watching it for years. Like, I've been with it literally since the beginning on this your channel.
Yeah, no, I started
watching it. Why do we like that show?
I haven't watched it as so for me, I think any of those shows, it's sort of like Antiques Roadshow. It's that thing where you find something and
you think it's useless worthless
this, and it has value. Their show, like, obviously you watch them, that you know the things that they are into, like the bikes and the motorcycles and shit like that. But it's just seeing stuff that's old and you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then they do a pretty good job of doing deep dive on some of that stuff. So you get a little history of like objects, which is mildly interesting. I don't know about you, but I have this kind of like, I'd be like, what's this? And learning about it and being like, oh, this is, the money part is not super important, but if it's not worth anything, then who cares? So, but if like you find a vase or something and it's worth $300, not like I'm going to the auction to sell it, but it's just that like this thing is somewhat unique and rare from a period of the past, and here's why it's interesting. So that part of it, for me at least, I think is what it's seeing the older stuff and then like learning about why it's valuable or why it isn't.
So
it's like, and also it's, I think it also ties into that hoarder thing a little bit. Like, you can see some of these people who are, some of them are fucking hoarders.
100%. I like to live with my stuff, they say. Yeah. You like to live in your stuff.
And then having these two guys be like, okay, I'm going to crawl through all your crap and pick out the like six things that are worth
the best stuff.
Money.
So, by that logic, then, you should like Pawn Stars. Do you watch Pawn Stars?
I like – well, see, the problem with me – the problem for me with Pawn Stars, it's a little too overproduced. Like, they started getting too into their personalities.
They had no choice. They got too popular.
And they had too many people. But, like, Mike and Frank still seem like pretty much the same people.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Like, they – there's no, like – stupid storyline with the dad being like, you got whatever the fuck.
Get back to work. Yeah.
And Chumley like, I'm gonna smoke
your fat
drive cars. That stuff really turns me off. I do like this sort of like, how much is it worth? But I find for some reason American Pickers seems more authentic. I'm sure it's not. Maybe it is, I don't know. But just the sort of like authenticity and the lack of sort of like fake storyline being brought in is more appealing to me.
Yeah. I mean, I won't ruin it for you. I know certain things about American Pickers that I just won't tell you, so you can continue to enjoy the show. That I read in an article and I was like,
what's the ruining of it?
Well, it won't ruin it, but it won't surprise you. But they actually go through and do all the picking and all the pricing first. And then they film it. Maybe with the exception of, I don't know if you saw this or not, this is probably 4 or 5 seasons ago, they literally dug up a motorcycle in some woman's backyard. That was obviously a unique situation. But, you know, it's like, oh, I saw this over here and I saw this thing. They go through the dickering with the person for a second time when they're filming it. The guy already knows what he's going to take.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, where they're like negotiating. And plus, they know way too much about everything.
Yeah, of course. They take the time.
Clearly, they did some research. I mean, sometimes they call their friends, the experts or whatever. Right. But I'm like, there's no way he know. Like, I think Mike probably does have a pretty encyclopedic knowledge of bikes and motorcycles.
He owned a shop.
He's like, oh, look at that 34, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or this Indian. I'm like, what are you looking at? There's just like a pile of rusty metal on the floor. He's like, this one's great. Like,
and it's interesting too. That's, if I had one complaint about the show, that would be it. Is sometimes they get so geeked out about cars and motorcycles. And those are two things that I don't want to say I care less about. Some of the super old cars are interesting, but it's like, they go so deep into it. It's like, I don't care. Get back to like the toys from the 30s. That's way more interesting to me than you looking under the hood of this 1932 Ford. Like, I don't care. Stop or talking about the engine.
Sometimes I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, that is a cool car. And again, like you can hold my attention for a little while, but when they go only on bikes or motorcycle picks,
it's ridiculous. Like,
okay. Yeah. You paid $40,000 for that, but $600 for the other thing. They look exactly the same to me.
Yeah, like, I don't understand it. Not understand it.
The other thing that's fascinating to me about American Pickers, this is Pickers deep dive, is how many people just have like massive fucking industrial buildings full of shit.
Yeah, the sheds, the steel buildings.
If you asked me before the show, like how many people had those, I'd be like, I don't know, like maybe 1,000 people in the United States. But if you watch that show, that it seems like every 2 miles. I was like, yeah, can I just drive around and look for barns and be like, this person has some cool shit in there?
I mean, it's interesting. I remember this was years and years ago, but when Dad used to listen to Rush Limbaugh, they would always advertise steel buildings, like affordable, build your own steel buildings. And I always thought to myself, that must just be for corporations. But yeah, after watching shows like Pickers, I'm like, nope, these are regular dudes who just have a little additional cash. I'm going to build a building on my extra acre of land. That's the other thing. Like, I live in the suburbs. Like, I could build a tiny, tiny shed in my backyard if I wanted to. That's about it. I don't have time or space, most notably, to put that up. And I don't have the stuff to store in it anyway. So.
That's the other thing. It's like a lot of those people that are moderate hoarders or like full hoarders. I'm like, where do they get enough money to build or buy this fucking?
I don't know.
Square foot building to just pile a bunch of shit in.
Again, I think a lot of them are also pickers. They'll just go around, or they go to. I mean, you hear them talk about this on the show all the time. They go to flea markets and they go to swap meets, and that's just they just accrue shit more and more and more and more, and. Again,
That's why Anne doesn't like me watching those shows. She's like, if I let you have your way, we'd have buildings with just stuff in it.
I think she's right.
That's not true. I was like, maybe. I mean, I do like going to flea markets and stuff like that. No one else in my family is interested, so we don't do it. But.
Not a surprise. Anyway, all right. Seth Pickers Deep Dive, the other sponsor tonight. Thanks again to Chick-fil-A for co-sponsoring tonight with along with American Pickers on the History Channel. So that was a horror. Do that again. That was horrendous.
What, this?
Todd just took a snapshot. That? Okay, yeah, I can see it. When you take the picture, I can see it pop up. Anyway, so listen, we thank you again for joining us, your COVID-19 resource here on the Bro Pod with Scott and Todd. April 21st, 2020. Things are still changing out there in the world. Things are maybe starting to open up in certain places. Todd thinks it's a bit premature. I agree. But we'll see. We'll see next time we record what that'll look like. Although next time we record will hopefully be the rewatchables, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. So everyone stay tuned for that. We will not have any other – believe it or not, it's never been done in the history of the show. We'll not talk about anything but one topic, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Get excited. You think that's actually happened before? I don't think so.
There's no way we're not sidetracked.
Oh, we're not going to sidetrack? Well, but it will be as it relates to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. So if you haven't watched it recently, go out and watch it so that when this episode is – or when that episode is recorded and uploaded, you guys can enjoy it. So anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend. Hit us up on the socials, the_bro_pod. Shoot us an email, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. And check us out on all the places that you find podcasts. Tell a friend. Join the Facebook page. Join the movement. It's happening. Not the bowel movement. Join the movement of the Bro Pod. So, thanks as always for listening. And until next week, everybody.